Unpopular opinion, but
Unpopular opinion.
You're listening to Unpopular Opinion, a podcast for professionals from all walks of life who want to hear success stories from innovators who've won by taking the path less traveled. In each episode, recovering journalist and content marketer Ashley Amber Saba interviews individuals who have prospered thanks to their genuinely unpopular opinions, despite warnings from naysayers, threats to their careers, and colossal obstacles. All rebels are welcome.
Hey, and welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Ashley Amber Saba, and this episode is brought to you by my friends at Audience Ops. Audience Ops is a content marketing agency, and they produce every episode of my show and all of the social media content too. If you're looking to launch a podcast for your brand or business, please reach out and let me connect you. Today, I'm joined by my good friend, Tabitha Kavanaugh, a talent and branding leader, a mom, and a cancer survivor who believes that job search and recruitment are team sports. Tabitha, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ashley. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, yeah. And we've had plenty of good talks and hot topics and things like that from the past that we could definitely levy, I think, for the episode today.
Absolutely. I feel like anytime we chat is a good time to record because I feel like there's always some good content that comes out of it anyway.
Oh yeah. We could definitely have a little TV show together probably. Oh, so today we are going to be talking about resumes and your take on them, which is you don't think that candidates should have to fit their resumes onto one page, despite Amen. All of the feedback and advice that we've been hearing for, I don't know, college times, probably for a lot of people. Can you kind of tell me why this perspective is so prevalent out there and why it shouldn't matter?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this leading up to our conversation and thinking about my network on LinkedIn and how I'm connected to thousands of recruiters on LinkedIn. And I genuinely don't think I can think back to really any solid recruiters that I know ever giving this advice. So it's crazy. Like, where did it come from is a great question, because I wonder if like a candidate heard it one time and then it was just like a game of telephone and then people just start posting it because they think it's really good advice or whatever. But yes, I definitely do not think that resumes need to be one page. I think that generally, unless you're, if the only exception to that is if you are coming directly out of high school, like college grad, maybe you have like a volunteer experience underneath your belt, or maybe no experience and you're trying to build it out and maybe talk about some of the clubs you've been a part of and things that you've worked on in that capacity, like student athlete. But outside of that, I don't think that your resume should be one page. There is absolutely no way you're going to format that in a proper size font where recruiters' eyes are not bleeding to make it so there's enough white space. So yeah, I really think that generally keeping it clean, formatted nicely, really depending on your years of experience. You know, I am 38 now and have a bunch of experience under my belt, as well as multiple layoffs, which of course then create more jobs that you have to add to your resume. So my resume right now is 3 full pages. And I feel really good about that. And honestly, I think that it's okay, the length, depending on, or as long as the content is really good. So I'll read a 10-page resume all day long if the content on there is applicable to the job that they're applying for.
Whoosh, that makes me feel better, because you know I can't fit all of mine on one page.
Heck no, that's so stressful for everybody. I don't want to see a one page, like 20 years of experience crammed into one page. I mean, that just makes my head hurt.
Do you get a lot of those where people, you could tell that they're attempting, even though they have a ton of experience, to fit it all on one page because they got told to do that probably?
Yeah. And even if they can't, because they really can't fit it onto one page, like an executive, for example, is not going to fit all of their experience onto one page. So what I've seen sometimes are just these like bulk paragraphs of like 10 lines of just like accomplishment after accomplishment, like stringing together like a snake instead of any type of like bullet point format. And it's just so much harder to read. It's harder to pick out the pieces that they really want you to pick out. So there might be some great content in there, but if it's all mushed together in just these huge chunks of text, that's going to be really challenging for a recruiter to really sift through, especially when they're moving as quickly as they are.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And like your point that you made earlier on about the layoff thing, like I know people to no fault of their own who have in the past year gotten laid off like 3 times. They keep getting unlucky, and then they shouldn't be penalized by having to squash everything just because they've all of a sudden had more jobs. It's kind of ridiculous.
That's exactly what happened to me. I mean, I've been laid off in the last 6 years. I've been laid off, I think, 3 times. And so same thing, I've got like all these jobs on there that take up a ton of space, and people are always like, oh, well, you weren't there very long. I'm like, yeah, well, look around, look at the economy, look at COVID, look at everything that's happened. You know what I mean? Then that's what I love about what's happened is that I feel like the challenges, the problems that we were, crossing paths with were actually this huge gift to kind of open up the eyes of all these people that had this very one-sided like way of, you know, this very like thin lane, granular like perspective that was not even real. And that this all opened up the doors, I feel like, to say, hey, this is like what's really going on, what people are really facing.
Do you think as a recruiter now that because of COVID and a lot of the things going on in the economy later, people are more likely to be accepting of a gap or a lot of jobs kind of stacked closely together?
Absolutely. I do think that there are still people with an old school mindset that for whatever reason have not graduated to the times that we live in. But overall, I really think that people are receptive now. And that's not even a question I hear as often, especially as a recruiter asking the question. I mean, I really want someone to walk me through their history. Tell me your story and tell me place to place, your experiences and the impact that you had and what impact it left on you also. But I'm not necessarily like, oh, 7 months, tell me what happened here. Like, I just want to know the story, and we get to that without it feeling like such an interrogation.
Yeah. And I think when it feels like an interrogation, the candidate can't perform well anyway. I think that you have to have a skill set of making it feel conversational to be good at your job in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't you put someone in front of a firing squad and expect them to answer all these questions. They're going to be nervous. They're going to not feel like they're themselves. They might feel like they have to alter their answer to fit whatever maybe leading question you're trying to ask them. So
the leading question.
Yes. So it's just like leading space, because asking a leading question in that kind of a way, when you like want them to give you a specific answer, is not actually good for anybody, because then if they give you that answer anyway, is it like, is it real? Is it not real? So when you're really just having an open conversation and you lead with transparency and vulnerability and give the candidate the same chance to do that as well, then you end up with a much more like organic, holistic conversation where you can get to the end and agree like, hey, this conversation is not either one of us putting a ring on it. It's just us saying like, let's explore and get to the information we need to make an informed decision.
I love that answer. Not to interview you, but can you kind of walk me through your background so everybody in the show kind of understands what you've come from up till now?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last 6 years, I've been a recruiter. I've been both on the agency and the corporate side, so a little bit of a mix. And most recently, after being faced with yet another layoff, I am now a global employer brand specialist. So basically, that means I support recruiters and help come up with a lot of the content, the shareable content, copywriting, graphics, you know, paid ads, things like that. So it's a lot of fun. It was a great way to pivot and still be able to use my recruitment background.
I imagine that's just like a dream fit for you too, and for the company.
It feels really good. It's interesting because normally I create on LinkedIn my own personal brand, and I call it my personal presence. And there, of course, like there's no pressure. I can write when I want to. I can disappear for 3 weeks and, you know, whatever I want to do, it really show up on my terms. So this role is a bit more interesting because it's really like, I mean, I'm writing on demand. Whenever something needs written, I have to be like, no matter what my like headspace I might be in or whatever day I'm having, I have to be ready to write and ready to design. And it's been a challenge. It's been very fast paced, but it's been a lot of fun. And I've been able to call on all the experiences, because when I was a recruiter, I was recruiting full-time, holding a full desk. And I was also the person called on to, you know, do things like internal comms or LinkedIn posting and like different things like that. So I was really able to, throughout my career, weave that in and diversify my skill set to now be here where I am today. And I say once a recruiter, always a recruiter. So I think, like, you know, in here, like, I'm always a recruiter, and we'll see if I get back to that full time. But right now, I really like the employer branding space. It's fun to write copy and then see it pop up on LinkedIn, people using the words that you wrote to explain the company, and just seeing your, you know, your words on ads and things like that. It's just, it's really, it's kind of a fulfilling feeling when you, when someone comes to you and says, wow, that one line you wrote made me cry. And you're like, whoa, like, I didn't even know that, like, I don't know. I didn't know that I could do that.
I'm not surprised at all, but hey, I can fully relate to that. Just being in content, there is something like about having your own copy, like, out there and coming to life, that, like, it doesn't stop being magical for me in a lot of ways.
No, I got chills. Honestly, it really feels like, I don't know, it's this feeling, it's different when you're creating and then other people are seeing so much value in what you're creating that they're willing to then put it out onto their own personal platform, like LinkedIn, like Instagram, like Facebook. You're just like, wow. I mean, it feels like an honor, honestly. It's interesting.
I totally agree. I have to ask you this. While you're talking, it made me think of this question. And I've been thinking about this for a long time. You have, as you mentioned, you've been a recruiter in-house and for an agency. Which one do you like better?
I mean, without a doubt, corporate. And I was an agency, and I remember when I wanted to switch to corporate, they were like, you're going to the dark side. And then anyone going from corporate to agency, they call that the dark side. So it's really funny. But yeah, you know, I like the client side. I felt like the diversity in clients and the stories I was getting to tell was really awesome. But I felt like I couldn't get as close as I wanted to the actual teams and hiring managers, despite how hard you might try and how good you might be at building relationships. Ultimately, if the corporate team has an internal talent acquisition team and they're using an agency, try as you might with those partnerships sometimes, but like, there's a lot of competition. As a recruiter, you want to be the one to find the person and fill a role and not have the fact that you're sitting in a corporate seat, they're paying your salary, and now they also have to pay an agency fee to fill a seat that you were supposed to fill. So for me, that was just like, I wanted to be closer. I wanted to be more tied to one mission and be able to tell that story over and over and be able to help them build out teams within the organization. And getting into corporate just was, felt like the best way to do that.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the resume thing. Do you think that there are other misconceptions out there that candidates are maybe taking into account that they shouldn't be?
Yes, there's always, especially on LinkedIn, and I love LinkedIn, it's a great community, but there's a lot of people on there that are just like looking for clickbait content to put out there. And so they'll just be like, say whatever sounds crazy, even if it's true or not true. And generally it's not true, right? So one of the biggest misconceptions I hear is about the ATS, the applicant tracking system, and how, you know, you really have to have like a very specifically formatted resume and all of these different things, like it's like Cookie Monster or something, like you put your resume in and it spits it back out in a million pieces. I mean, it's not like that at all. And so to clear up that misconception, an ATS is really a way for recruiters, hiring teams to stay organized, to stay in communication. So as a recruiter, I can move someone through what's called a pipeline from application stage to maybe a recruiter phone screen to an interview stage. And so on, right? If there's an assessment, if there's a panel, when there's an offer. So it is really almost like a project management tool, kind of like Asana or Monday, where you're able to just put everything in there, notes, scorecarding, have the hiring managers and the hiring teams give them visibility into what's going on. So there's not a million emails that you have to like go back one off and track. It's there for you. So for candidates, the only advice I would give you for an ATS is just to not format your resume in Canva. And I love Canva, so this is not a knock on Canva, but sometimes with the blocking and the colors that people use, sometimes that does get caught up in a weird in an ATS. And then what'll happen is when I pull up your resume, it'll just be blank. And so to see it, sometimes you have to download it. And sometimes you know, high volume recruiting teams might not take the time to download your resume. And so they want to see it there right in front of their face. So just be careful with the different ATSs out there to make sure that you're following the instructions for that particular ATS, how they want you to put in your application.
Okay. Tell me about what your resume looks like.
My resume, it is pretty standard. There's really nothing fancy about it. At the top, I have a little circle with my initials in it and my name, my LinkedIn profile. I make sure that's easy to get to. A couple of kind of like key phrases that I want people to know about me, that I'm a talent and branding professional. So I put like recruitment marketing on there as well. And then from there, I just tell a little bit about my story. I have a brief paragraph at the beginning that would have, I guess, in the past been called that objective statement, that nowadays is more what I encourage people to do, is tell a very specific story about who you are and how it aligns to the company. So to give a quick example, when I was applying for healthcare companies, I started my paragraph by letting people know, hey, I'm a cancer survivor. That's really important to me. Revolutionizing healthcare and being there for the people that are going through this journey is something that I really want to give back to. And so in applying for healthcare companies, I got a lot of responses and attention from that, because they could see that my mission and my why was very closely aligned with theirs as well. So from there, I just lay out each company that I've worked for, of course, listing accomplishments over responsibilities. So not just like, hey, I recruited, but how well did I recruit? How did that impact the company? And then I would always link to the company, and right next to that, put a couple of words about what that company did. So in case the recruiter wasn't familiar, they could easily click on the link and go see the company and see a little blurb about what industry, et cetera, that I was in. So really, that's just the whole layout of it. Yeah.
What do you think about cover letters?
Cover letters. Honestly, I'm not against them. I'm not for them. I'm really just, I guess I'm for them in the terms of, what are you using it for? What is the purpose? If you're just regurgitating your resume in a cover letter, then you don't need a cover letter. A cover letter is really your chance to explain something maybe in your history, or a chance to talk about why you're excited about the opportunity and what you see, the alignment that you're looking for, those types of things. So I would say when it's outside of your resume, it's great. It's really a great tool to let someone know, what do you care about? And why should we care about what you care about? So, but mostly I think that, you know, you do hear a lot of feedback from recruiters that they don't like cover letters, or they don't read cover letters. So I mean, if the company's asking and they put it as a mandatory piece in the application, then of course you'll want to put something in there. And I would just recommend keeping it short and put something in there, that reason why you're applying and how you think some of your accomplishments align with what they're looking for you to also accomplish there.
Okay, you were in the job market not too long ago. What kind of things disappointed you about how things are being handled for you and your process? And then you can talk too about what things that delighted you or made you happy during it. But I'm just curious from your own perspective, going out for a job, being on the other end of it.
Yeah. I mean, in this market specifically, was really, really crazy. Obviously recruiters are some of the first to go when the market goes nuts. And when people, of course, companies don't need to hire, they don't need recruiters. And I would always argue that to diversify your skill set again. So if you are a recruiter in that position, or a company in the position where you want to get rid of your recruiter, it's like, think about keeping them and think about where else you can put them until you need to recruit again, because eventually you will. And you don't want to start from scratch every time building a new talent acquisition team. So yeah, I mean, my most recent job search, I was really disappointed with the fact that every application I put out there, I either didn't get a response, or I got just a rejection that, you know, we don't want to talk to you, basically, you know. And I ended up finding every single opportunity. I had about 6 different opportunities at any given point throughout my job search, and they were all from networking, all from people that I built relationships with over the years. You know, you can't show up in life and expect to just like, hey, we've never met, I don't know you, you don't know me, but can you give me a job? And that's what happened in this market. A lot of people were in their kind of cozy jobs and got upended when these unexpected layoffs happened. And they were like, hey, cool. Hi, I've never been here on LinkedIn, but can y'all help me? And I'm not saying that they should have, like, I understand some people just couldn't prioritize LinkedIn, but it is just the importance of showing up in that community that made all the difference for me. Not only did I have people like you reaching out to encourage me throughout my job search or looking for jobs for me and then trying to send them over, but really just that, like, that was such a support system that you don't realize you even need until you're in the thick of a job search and you're like, whoa, the fact that I'm getting regular texts from people or messages just was so helpful and so encouraging. So yeah, I'd really, really shout out just being a part of some type of community and like, don't be ashamed when you're laid off because it's not something to be ashamed about. It was not performance related for me. So it's just about getting the word out as quickly as you can to as many people as you can, and then getting specific along the way about what you're looking for so people can be looking for the right things for you versus just sending you what maybe they think that you'd be a good fit for. So, yeah.
I know you and I talked about this a little bit in our own little discussions, but we both had advice from time to time from people who were probably well-intending with it that told us basically just enjoy your time off, just chill out, just then get back on the horse after you feel like you are, you know, good to go. And for, to me, at least at times, it almost felt like, I feel like you don't understand that I need a job and yeah. I'm not doing this job just for fun. Like, I have a family to support and I have bills to pay. And it kind of felt like almost people were wanting me to take it in a positive way when I didn't feel like it was a chill vacation time for me. Did you have any examples of things that were helpful and unhelpful, maybe from family and friends besides that one?
I mean, honestly, that's a big one. A lot of people are like, great, now we'll have all this time to hang out. And it's like, you do at first, it's all this mix of emotions. You get the call. Like, I remember I got on a video call. I was not expecting this at all. And the CEO was like, yeah, this is one of those calls. And I remember I was just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, is this real? So the second that happens, everything changes. And I spent every day, every hour of every day looking for a job. And when I wasn't looking for a job, I felt so guilty that I wasn't spending time looking for a job. So more often than not, I was searching. I really didn't get to spend time with family and friends when I was laid off. Because again, I just felt so incredibly guilty that like I didn't have income coming in just to help support the family. So yeah, I think that that is one of the biggest ones. It's a misconception that, oh, you get laid off and you have all this time to just like, you know, eat bonbons on the couch. I don't know. But it's really a time for, if you haven't been networking, or even if you have been, it's a time to really like buckle down, talk to new people, talk to people that you've already met that you might maybe want to, blossom that relationship a bit more and really just look for ways to give. So even though I transitioned into employer branding, behind the scenes, I was still coaching people and helping them get jobs. So I feel like there's always going to be a piece of me that will do that recruiter part just to satisfy, you know, that kind of that itch, I guess. But yeah, I can't really think of another, because that one really is prominent. That one is the one that stood out a ton. And the people just, and they mean well when they say like, you're wonderful, you'll find something.
Yeah.
It is great encouragement. And I appreciate that they're just trying to say something. But that one's tough too, because when you hear it over and over and over again on this side, and yet on this side, you're not getting any calls from any of the applications you're putting in. You're just like, well, I don't feel that great about myself, you know?
That's how exactly my feeling on that too. What do you think that we can be doing to support like our friends and ex-colleagues that are open to opportunities now, whether that was because they got laid off or because they escaped like bad environments? What can we be actively doing for them?
Yeah, I think that reach out and don't be afraid to say, I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. Or like, this super sucks. I know getting laid off sucks. Or like, maybe I've never gotten laid off before, so I don't totally know how you feel, but I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you. And asking them to get specific on what they're looking for. Because again, like somebody's in marketing, well, marketing is not all one and the same. There are so many different pieces of marketing. that if you don't know specifically what that person is looking for, you might be sending them the complete opposite end of the spectrum of a marketing position. So really, you know, I'd recommend reach out to one person a week. If you have bandwidth for more, great. If it's less, fine, but do what you can. Notice the things around you and move with intention. I specifically search LinkedIn for the posts of people that are saying they're looking for jobs and what they're looking for. And then I'm trying to connect behind the scenes with, hey, okay, meet this person. So I think that, you know, networking is the biggest thing you can do in like, or if a recruiter reaches out to you with an opportunity and you're not interested, think of before you move away from that opportunity, because you probably won't go back to it. Let's assume that maybe you won't go back to it. You'll forget about it. Before you move away from it, think about who else, think about three other people in your network that you think that could be a good job, good fit for, or post it on your LinkedIn and be like, hey, recruiter, do you care if I post this on my LinkedIn and see who in my network might be interested? Like, do something within your own unique skill set and your gifts and your talents, but move with intention. Because otherwise, you know, the people that get laid off, they feel left behind. I'll end by saying that it's just that like, I revolve so much of my life around my job, because to me, I love recruitment and I love employer branding so much that it's like, I live and breathe it. So when I'm not doing that thing for a job, it feels almost like you're left behind. It feels like an empty kind of gutted feeling. And so to be away from that world and to almost feel like things are moving on without you while you're here, just like running on this hamster wheel, trying to, you know, find new employment, it can be a really lonely place to be, which is why I say the job search and recruitment are both team sports and we need to be doing them together.
People are taking more unique stances and ways for their applications and when they're applying to stand out now, because you kind of have to. Have you ever noticed anybody who did anything exceptionally unique when they went out for a job that you've recruited for?
Oh, that I've recruited for. Let's see. You know, it's interesting because you don't see a lot of candidates going like this crazy above and beyond. Like if there's an assessment, they might do something really cool. Maybe instead of putting it into an email with bullets, they make it into like a Canva presentation or something. But really, I coached this one gentleman one time, and he was so fun. He wanted to get into a very specific company. And so what I ended up doing was just, we came up with all these crazy ideas. I would just brainstorm. That's how I'll call out the craziest ideas. Well, he would run with some of them. One of them was creating an animation video where it was like he was one of the characters, and then he put the interview team in as other characters in the animation video, and basically like outlined his whole interview process in this animation and used it to send over to the team. And they said it was one of the most unique things they had ever seen. And he actually didn't get the job that time, but what it did was put him on the radar so he could interview then for two other positions. And he ended up getting into that company. So sometimes I feel like you just have to like go big. And if you're in marketing or social media or something creative, where you can show, or I mean, the other things, and really any department, showcase those skills in the interview process. If you want to be in a sales position, show them how well you do your sales outreach. You know what I mean? Like run a cadence or whatever, but like use those skills to show them how you would do it in the job. Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like that when you've been applying?
I would say like I've created graphics for companies and stuff like that to be like to mimic their, you know, when you don't have the brand guidelines, you're just like kind of pulling colors from the website and logos and stuff. But yeah, I've created things like that before to showcase. Or what I've done is really kind of create a little bit of a portfolio. And for things like templates I've written, like email templates, LinkedIn presentations that I've done and such, I keep that all together. And that way when I'm reaching out, I'm like, hey, check this out. Like, and giving people real life examples, not just saying I'm a good copywriter, but showing them the kind of emotion I can put into a templated email that makes it feel very personalized. And then they can really feel what I'm trying to tell them. So I would say I've never done anything too crazy, but I'm not afraid to reach out. And I coach people on, I mean, if it's a small company too, pick up the phone. And I've had people do that. They pick up the phone, they call, and they're like, wow, no other applicants called. Cool. We want to interview you. And then the girl that I helped with that got the job. So you just have to kind of look for, I feel like, an avenue in, and it might not even always be the most obvious, but it's like, what are my skill sets? How are they unique? How do they want me to use those in this job? How can I use those to open the door to have a conversation with someone within the company?
How do you think in the next couple of years that recruiting is going to change?
Yeah, this is something I've been thinking a lot about. And I don't think recruiters are going to fully go away. What I do think, though, is that teams are going to become a lot more lean. And I think instead of having maybe like a ton of recruiters or a huge employer branding team or whatever, I think that some of those positions might start to get combined. And then with some of the AI and the technology coming out now, I think that some of the like repetitive tasks and things like that will end up just becoming a bit more automated. I know I've seen some companies moving towards like video interviews and processes where you don't even talk to a real human at first. You get an email, you record some videos, and then maybe you hear from a real life person. And while I don't specifically love that kind of a process, I could see definitely more technology being incorporated. And so there'll still be recruiters, but I think less recruiters, which is why I think right now recruiters really need to diversify their skill sets in this area and think about what else branches out from recruitment where you can call on that core foundation that you already have.
Okay. At the end of all of my shows, I like to ask if you could debunk an unpopular opinion that you've seen on your news feed or that you've heard that people are talking about.
Yeah, I think something kind of related would be personality assessments. I was actually just talking to someone the other day about having to take a personality assessment. And before she was even able to get to the first interview, it removed her from the process. And I was able to see some of the questions behind the scenes that were very just like kind of like a math question or something, or like a pattern question. And while I can, to a certain extent, see value in a personality or some other type of assessment like that, it was for a sales role. And I know her to be a really great salesperson. And so to see that she didn't even get to move forward to the first interview because she quote unquote failed this assessment, it was really frustrating for me. So I'd love to debunk the fact or whatever you want to call it, that people think that the end all be all should be on this personality assessment or on this other type of like analytical assessment, and that that would completely remove you from consideration. Some people are not great at testing, or there could be different type of like accessibility issues with that people aren't even thinking of. So yeah, I'd love to see those mostly be gotten rid of, with the exception of maybe using a personality test to understand better how to manage and work with that person. But at the same time, I think what accomplishes that is a conversation, is building a relationship.
I love it. And you know, I got removed from a interview. I actually hadn't even had an interview, that just like your friend, based on a Myers-Briggs personality test. And I got removed from another interview before the final interview based on one too. Oh, I've had it happen to me two times in 2023. And I feel like they can be a good tool, as you mentioned, to figure out how to like manage, you know, diverse opinions in a team maybe, but I don't think that, I mean, and how do we know that people taking them aren't like looking up like, which answers should I be using to make sure that I get the job? I don't know. I feel like there are too many things going on there that make it maybe not a fair or equitable idea in evaluating people.
They're confusing. I know I've taken a handful, and I know sometimes like they ask you the question and it's like a this or that, and you're like, but I'm both or I'm neither. And yet you still have to pick something. So it just doesn't always feel like the most accurate. And then some of them I've taken, I took predictive index, which I actually really like, because it took me, I don't know, less than 5 minutes to take. And every time I take it, And I feel like I don't always give it the same answers. And every time I take it, I always come out to be a maverick. So I just feel like some of them are a little bit more consistent than others, but they should, in my opinion, and I will say never, they should never be used as the end all be all, as like getting, you know, whether someone moves forward or not, especially later in the process, like you said. I mean, that should never be like, cool, you've finished the interview process, but now let's take this assessment and oh, now we're going to kick you out because you failed or whatever. It just, not my favorite.
Hello, fellow maverick.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's why we're getting on so well. So where can people go if they want to find more Tabitha?
Ooh, more Tabitha. I am primarily hanging out on LinkedIn nowadays. So it's a great community. You can find me at Tab the Recruiter, even though now I'm Tab the Employer Brander. But I'm always hanging out there and commenting, posting, all the good things, just really creating relationships and magic, you know, behind the scenes as much as possible. So that's the best place.
All right. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on my show. I know this is not going to be the last time we talk, and I'm glad that I was able to have you on. And I know that the topics that we talked about today are going to be of interest to a lot of people who are looking for new opportunities now. Oh, I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Ashley. Always a pleasure. And I can't wait for next time.
Thanks for listening to Unpopular Opinion. This episode was produced by Audience Ops, a content-led growth agency. If you're looking for help launching a podcast, Audience Ops handles all the legwork so you can focus on providing the subject matter expertise. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow Ashley's show on Spotify, Apple, or YouTube.